I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
All right, everybody, you can tell I'm having a little fun here tonight, so kind of lighten up everything. I don't know if you all could hear me back here in the background.
Kinda ever so on. Faintly.
Could you hear me a little bit, kind of carrying on?
Yeah.
This conference is being recorded.
I was carrying on a little bit, so but we're back now, and what we're going to do is start our calls. We had quite a few people checking in the console, you know, groups of people, and we were talking there. In the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing the parallels between Christianity and some of the other religions. We want to continue that tonight. And perhaps tonight, if Dr. Blair, I want to try to see if he's going to come in. We have a discussion tonight that we're going to have with Dr. Blair, and I believe another gentleman, I believe his name is Tom. I'm not sure. What is his name? Do you know his name, Wes?
Q&A session started.
He just goes by Boston because he's from Boston. I think he goes by Boston.
Boston. Oh, okay. I didn't know what his name was.
Tom's the other gentleman from Idaho.
And another gentleman from Idaho. Okay. Well, we're going to have a discussion tonight concerning goals. Some interesting things came up on Monday concerning monatomic goal and metallic goal. And I just have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of information, really, that I'd like to share. And so I'm going to try to figure out the most efficient way to get you some of the information that I think will be helpful to you and assist you in your ascension process and becoming the powerful you were intended and created to become and be. And that's what this call is all about. This call is all about giving you the information and allowing you for yourselves to find that whether or not the information is true or not, and then moving to become the most powerful you were created to be. So now, one of the things that we need to do is to understand that the goal and objective of understanding these parallels that we have raised between Christianity and some of the other religions is to find out truth. Truth is the goal. Truth is what we're after, because truth makes one free. And so we've looked at several stories. I'm going to start here tonight. My little helper, he's not with me tonight. He kind of left me out here by myself. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight about the story of Osiris, which is and the correlation between Osiris and the Christ that have been illustrated by many prominent historians who have shown that the evolution of Christianity is rooted in the religion of Isis, Horus, and Osiris. The religion survived in its last outpost in Nubia until the Temple of Philae was destroyed by Justinian in the 6th century. And although there have been many versions of this story, the essential theme of the Osirian legend states that Osiris, was once king of Egypt, and he came to an untimely death at the hands of his brother Seth, who had parts of his dismembered body hidden in various locations all over Egypt. Isis, his wife and sister, she found all the parts, and she was able to reconstruct his body with the exception of his penis, which was thrown into the Nile and eaten by a fish. And so her lamentations were heard by Ra, who sent forth the sun Anubis to wrap the body with bandages and perform all of the rites due one of his stature. So Isis caused the breath of life to enter the body by rapidly beating her wings, whereupon Osiris was resurrected and became the first king of the world. And while hovering over the body, she became pregnant, and she conceived a son, Horace, who would later avenge his father's death. So from that point on, or henceforth, the dead of Egypt were considered Osiris, and they were wrapped in bandages of the familiar mummy, and all of us are familiar with that, with the hope of resurrection in the spirit world with the Ankh-et, or in the land of life. So the Egyptians seemed to be preoccupied with the dead from a belief that life on earth was merely a preparation for an eternal life. And the proof of this could be demonstrated by their use of the Ankhs. And I know you all are familiar with the Ankhs, which became a symbol of life because of its ability to, and I want you to hear this, because of its ability to detect the energies of that realm, the other world. The Ankh has the ability to detect the energies of the other world, so it became a prominent tool in the hands of those Egyptians. And further proof that life on earth was preparation for another life was in the manner that we dream, because our dreams are our fledgling interest into the spirit world while we are still alive. Our earliest attempt of spiritual flight is short. While we dream, usually the penis is erect and the body is kept rigid by powerful chemical secretions from the brain, which prevents it from acting out in the experience. And during those brief seconds, we are as if dead yet alive in another world. Now, let me say something else about Christ. And one of the authors that wrote about this, Gerald Massey, in his book, Ancient Egyptians, Light of the World, Osiris is the Corpus Christi. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos. You can look it up, which means anointed. In Egypt, K-R-S-T, I'll say that again, Christ, K-R-S-T, means to embalm, to knot, to mummy. So central in the Christian theology is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And this concept has an undying appeal for the masses of humanity from the dawn of our human experience. And but to really accept or acceptance of the Egyptian definition of K-R-S-T, Christ, could put the confusion to rest within Christianity. For Christianity did not start with the Jews, but was of Egyptian origin, revolving around mummification and the spiritual resurrection of the dead. Notice the stories and the similarities, how Christ was wrapped in clothing or cloth. We hear a lot about the Shroud of Turin. Well, this is a process that was started by the Egyptians in wrapping the bodies of the deceased in bandages or tapes, as we've just read to you and just shared with you, of the process of mummification and how it started with Osiris. And we know in the gospel story that Christ folded his bandages or his burial clothes neatly in a corner and left them in one place as he resurrected from the tomb on the third day. So the followers of Jesus after his death and resurrection were only later called Christian. The word Christian was already in existence. It wasn't something that was created. The word Christian there again was already a word that was prevalent and pervasive in the society at the time, which proves that Christianity had an origin and an ontological root somewhere else other than in what we commonly believe and suppose it to have its roots and origin in. Now, so the Christians that were called that because of their belief. Someone's texting me. I'm sorry. I got distracted the Christians that were called Christians because of their beliefs that were similar to the beliefs that were practiced thousands of years earlier in Egypt. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to move now to talk a little bit about the Christian age. And those of you that have a Bible or have a pen and want to write down this, I'm going to talk a little bit about a passage in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I'm led to talk about this on this evening because I want to state some facts here. And then we'll try to find something for you to take from here that can be practical that you can apply or you can research. Okay, now John chapter 21 is a resurrection story. I mean, it's a post-resurrection story, rather. And there are some appearances that are happening, according to the Bible, of the Christ who has been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. And now, in a post-resurrection manner, he's making appearances to several people. And the passage tonight that we're looking at is an appearance here. But there are some powerful principles here that are for everyday living, and I want you to see these principles here. And I'm going to try to read, pardon me if I missed read here just a little bit. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, which is called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I go a-fishing." And they say to him, "We also go with you." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. This is the resurrected Christ now, after being crucified and buried for 3 days. He's resurrected. He's making an appearance. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast, therefore, now listen to this. They cast, therefore, the net and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, his disciples, whom Jesus loves, said, "Lord," and let me skip down here and go to the other verse here. And as soon as they were come to land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coal there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring up the fish which you have caught." After they cast the net to the right side. And verse number 11 says something very interesting. Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153 for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, this number is very significant. The story is very significant as it plays into the narrative here of a post-resurrection appearance, because this number 153 also ties into a cosmic principle, And the cosmic principle that it ties into is the number 9, because 1 plus 5 plus 3 is 9. 1 plus 5 is 6, 6 plus 3 is 9. Now, what makes that number so important is that number ties us into a cosmic law, as we've talked about many, 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 many times. Our DNA is coded to the number 9. Normal gestation period is 9. Some argue, and I don't split hairs with them about it, but we have 9 planets. But there's something that cannot be debated that I want to show you a little later. In another passage of scripture that's found in Luke chapter 22, concerning this number 9 as well. And that has to do with the sun. And that has also to do with the moon. And it has to do with the earth. And it has to do with a sacred number that is persistent, that is pervasive, and that is everywhere and is practically in everything. This number is sacred. That's what I mean by the word sacred. I don't necessarily mean that sacred in the terms of a religious definition, but I mean that like sacred geometry. Sacred geometry is something that can be observed everywhere and in everything. It's persistent, it's pervasive, it's a permanent pattern. So this number, 153 fish. Now, it says fishes, but actually fish. Okay, now, this is his third appearance, and this has something to do. This is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful typology. This is a beautiful story that outlines a process of something that must happen in the cosmos and must happen in our bodies. There must be something that happens because in between the pia mater and the dura mater of the brain, there's something called the arachnoid, which is in definition means the cobweb or the web. Think of it in terms of a worldwide web or information center where the neurological electromagnetic circuitry or information is being passed through your brain to your central nervous system that goes through your entire body. Now, what Christ is saying here in this passage, in casting the net to the right side, means that the left side of your brain must be shut down in order to get to this new life, in order to get to this wonderful resurrection life. And there's a process here. And I call this process, I call it the God code. I call it the three principles. This is his third appearance. There were three crosses at Calvary. And that's something that needs to happen inside of all of us, inside of us, three times in order for this process to be realized, or in order for this, if you will, new life that we're looking for to happen. And it is a natural process that happens in your body. Now, one of the things that happens is when you get in a discussion and a debate with religious people about this, they tend to get angry with you because you can prove and have facts to show your positions. And you have the information and facts to prove the things that that they believe are allegories, or you can prove it. You can prove that you have the facts to show that there's actually a process in your body. For an example, every 29 and a half days in the solar plexus, behind the stomach, in a thimble-shaped cavity, a seed is formed. This seed is formed based upon a lot of influences. One of the major influences that causes this seed to be formed in the human body, and I know you all can follow me with this, because we know about the process of reproduction and the seed and the egg dance. So we know that the body produces a seed and the body produces an egg. Well, I'm going to explain to you how the body produces the seed. Every 29 and a half days, when the moon is in the position or in the house of the sign that you were born in, it's so precise. It's so precise. It's like time work. It's like clockwork. It's really precise. This seed is born in the solar plexus of a human being. And we can prove that because we have offspring. We have procreated. And that procreation comes from a seed that is developed in your body. And that seed, or an egg, that is developed in the body of a woman. So this seed is formed every 29 and a half days in the solar plex. And this seed, when properly understood and submitted to a particular process, brought back to the origin of where it has come from, produces an electrical vibration. It can only be raised, as we've said in other meetings, it can only be raised by meditation in the dark, by raising the energies that are at the bottom of your spine in a gland called the cardia in Greek. In the Eastern religions, it's called kundalini. And it comes through the seven energy centers or the glands that power your organs, and it begins at the bottom of your root chakra, which is red. It proceeds to the orange chakra, which is in the regenerative parts of our body, which is color-coded orange. Then it moves to the solar plexus, which is color-coded yellow. All of these are color-coded because these colors carry vibrations that are interchangeable with sound. And not only sound, they are interchangeable with touch and taste as well. Once you understand these things, you can almost heal any portion of your body. So anyway, as we proceed, the seed, now each time it passes one of these centers, it's picking up energy or additional vibration. And then it gets to the heart energy center or chakra, which is going color-coded green. Then to the throat, blue. Then to the eyes, indigo. And then to the brain itself, which is color-coded violet-purple, or the purple chakra energy center. It is there when this seed, when brought back through meditation in the dark, activates the pineal gland. And then there's a burst of energy, and we'll talk about that at another time, that happens that activates the dormant brain cells that are on the right. And the only way to do that is by shutting down the left. Now, there's a wonderful, and if some of you would like for me to talk about it another time, I will. I'm going to open up, but I'm going to move to another passage here, and then I'm going to be finished. In Luke chapter 22, I wanted to talk about that since we talked about the number 9. That's John 21. Now I'm going to Luke chapter 22, and there's something interesting here that you need to hear and you need to see. I don't know if I talked about this before, but maybe I have. I talk so much sometimes I forget all of the things that I say and I don't say and I do say. But anyway, Luke chapter 22, it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, this unleavened bread, this is a code. Leaven in the Bible has to do with enzymes and proteins in your body. It has to do with DNA. But now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes saw how they may kill him. This is before they crucified him for the fear of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, name Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and he communed with the chief priests and captains. These are religious people and politicians. These are captains, police officers, and the preachers. And they commune as one of his buddies now that's running around with him, and he's getting ready to snitch on it to the police and to the religious leaders and how they might betray him to kill him. And they were glad, and they made a contract. They made a contract, and they gave this man some money named Judas, and he promised, and he saw an opportunity to turn him over to him. Verse 6 says, in the absence of the multitude, he didn't want to do it in front of the people because they were afraid of the people. Then there came a day of unleavened bread, Passover, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare the Passover that we may eat. Now listen to this. He said to them, where will you prepare? They said to him, where will you that we prepare? And he said to them, behold, you are entered into a city. When you get there, you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into a house where he enters, and you shall say to that man of the house, the master says to you, where is the guest chamber that I shall prepare the Passover? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished already. And when they went, they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready. Now here are two fishermen, Peter and John. They were fishermen. Fishermen. And they were to go and to find a man in a village carrying a pitcher of water. Beautiful story. Beautiful story. But if you get religious, you're going to miss the point. The point here is the age of Pisces, two fish, Peter and John, fishermen, going to meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Who is the man that bears a pitcher of water? Here's a cosmological fact. Cosmological fact. Here's a scientific fact. And this is what makes religious people mad when you give them facts. The age of Pisces lasted 2,000 160 years. It was over December the 21st, 2012, at 11:11 a.m. The sun stays in one constellation, rising, as we say, setting, for 2,160 years exact. And then when that time is over, it moves into another sign. And we've just come out of the sign of Pisces. And we've entered into the sign of Aquarius. Two fishermen meeting the man with the large upper room. What I'm saying to you now is that the room is set. The energies are present. The cosmos is putting out energies for you to become the person you were created to become, the powerful person that you were created to become. It is a matter of understanding some of the principles that we just mentioned earlier in the previous passage by way of application, that you can become this. And listen, we are here to help you to do that. That's what this call is all about. That is what this book is all about. This book gives out the prospect of the possibility of life forever, living forever. That is the theme of the Bible, living forever, tree of life, learning this tree of life. And I have some things on my Facebook page that talks about some of this stuff. I usually use my Facebook page as a teaching wall, as a classroom. Try not to put too much personal stuff up there. Social media is very, very dangerous. But here again, we have two fishermen, symbolic of the age of Pisces, that lasted 2,160 years, exactly, and it was over. We know this. The Mayans left it in the Mayan calendar. We know this because of the Hopi calendar, the Aztec, the Hopi Indians. We know of this because of the ancient calendars in India, ancient calendars in Dinara of Egypt. We know of the precession of the equinox, and that the sun, that only stays in one constellation, 2,100. So why do I keep emphasizing this number? Because 2,160 is not only the length of time that the sun stays in one constellation, it is also the width of the miles of the moon. The moon is 2,160 miles across. I could tell you how that number ties into you, into your DNA, that you are intimately and intricately tied to the cosmos. You are tied to the creation. You are tied to the creator, because the creator created the creation, and the creation reflects the creator. And you, and forgive me for using this, I'm just trying to make it simple so you won't forget it. I'm not trying to call you any kind of monster or anything, but a creature. You are intimately tied to the creation. Now, you can move and flow with these, the creation, or you can move against these principles. And to move against them means that you will not, obviously, make the transition. Some people are stuck. They're still stuck in the age of Pisces. They're still stuck. Now, I could talk a lot about that, but it would be very, very offensive to people who are still stuck trying to hold on to an age that's already gone, an age that's passed, an age that they cannot bring back any more than they can turn the sun back around the constellation and rewind the earth back around the sun and rewind the moon back around the earth. Is the only way you can bring the age back that has gone. And what you're going to see, what will happen is an unraveling of things in our society and in our world. You're going to see the institutions of the previous age that we thought were sturdy and stable, they're going to begin to crumble and unravel. They have to, because the energies of this new age is not going to allow the old institutions and the old oppressions, the old attitudes, the old injustices to survive. They will not be able to survive. The cosmos, Dr. Blair, talks much about putting out phenomenal energy. The sun is putting out tremendous energy now. Tremendous energy. That energy has to be absorbed. That energy has to be dealt with and compensated for. I'm looking for Dr. Blair right now. I'm finished with what I have to say, basically. And let's see here. I don't see Dr. Blair in the queue, on the board anywhere tonight. Oh, yes, I see. Well, hold on. I don't know if that's Dr. Blair right there at 770 or not. Let's see. I'm going to unmute you. If that's Dr. Blair, speak up at 770-369. Dr. Blair, is that you? That's not Dr. Blair. Okay. I'm still looking for him. Did you talk to him, by the way, Midwest?
No, I did not. He didn't call me today. I think his number is 812.
I see another 770. Let's see if that's him. Dr. Blair, is that you?
Khalif, I'm a 770.
He's 708. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the wrong thing here. I'm kind of... Maybe Dr. Blair's not in the audience tonight. I thought he was going to come in. But nonetheless, we're going to open up for the Q&A right now because I don't see any of them in there. Maybe I've said something tonight that has sparked some interest in some of your minds, and maybe as I mentioned, these processes. And even those of you who are in the radio audience, you can call in by dialing 712-775-7085. And... the participant code is 568788. You can call in even from the radio audience if you're listening. We have the queue open. I don't see anyone in the queue. So let's see if anyone comes in.
Khalif, did you say Dr. Blair was 708?
Yes.
Okay, I see a 708 here.
708 what?
That's it.
Dr. Blair, are you there?
If you're on 708, I'm there.
Well, hello.
You didn't call my number. Number's 708, not 770.
Right,
that's
right.
True.
Yeah, I've been with you the whole time. I've been listening.
Okay, well, take it over, sir. We've been waiting for you.
Well, I thank you very much for saying that. I simply say it's a heck of a time to be alive on this planet. I have never, never, never in my life thought I would see this day, although I hope that if it came about, I'd be alive in a physical body. Now, understanding that, I don't know if that was a good thought or not either way. But anyway, the things that are happening on this planet are just unbelievable. You've got comets, more than one. You've got over in Europe what they call the European Special Acceleration there, where they have a Rosetta spaceship. And then they have a module that the Rosetta spaceship launched. It's been up there for 10 years, and now suddenly they piggyback right on a comet. If you remember last week or if you heard any of my other broadcasts, I told you that there was a comet coming here, and they're not talking about the comet. And metaphysics has always said that comets are harbingers of doom, simply because it meant that comets are spaceships that hide behind these ice balls and debris. And it usually means if the ship is that large that it has to get that close, they're here for a purpose, because it usually means very advanced races. Now, whether these advanced races are good or bad, we have to remain to be seen. But not only now is that comet there, but up on our website, we show you that they bombed Mars. There was an explosion on Mars. They're hiding that explosion on Mars. They keep talking more about Ebola and everything else, but telling you this. There is something going on our planet. Now, the scuttlebutt, that's a heck of a Navy old word, but put it just underneath it all, they said that there were some colonies put out by the United States and Russia on Mars and that they were bombed. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what they're saying up on some of the Skype things and things along that line. But there has been a detonation on Mars. Something has been destroyed on Mars. And the comets are not only here, but now... It's sure not that the Europeans there, which means usually Germany, Italy, and England, are the ones behind that thing, are now saying that there's a change going about. The SOHO satellite, and that stands for Solar Observatory. That's the SOHO put out there again by NASA, has shown that the sun has a hole in it. Now, they didn't teach me that in school. When I got into metaphysics and started saying the sun was not hot and bright, but it is, again, like a portal, again, I was laughed at. I don't care about being laughed at. What I want to know is the truth. Now they're finally confirming what I already thought with these satellites that they've launched, and this SOHO satellite photographed a hole in the sun. Then it photographed something 3 miles long going into that hole in the sun. Then it went around to the other side of the sun and photographed something a mile coming out of the sun. And then they went on to talk about that there are over 10 billion people, or something like this, tens of millions of thousands in Indonesia that had 6 hours of complete darkness due to the energy that sun was there and knocked out all their generators. They also hid that. They're also hiding the idea that there is some kind of energy coming from inside the Earth that is causing perturbations. And in Tulsa and in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's another one out there, they're now having swarms of earthquakes. They run from 3.8 to 4.5 miles, 4.5 intensity. They also now are getting swells and tsunamis coming back again to Japan, in addition to which they're getting mudslides. In addition to which, there's action down there in what is it called? This big volcano we have, or Yellowstone. I have never seen so many things going like this. In addition to which, now Russia, through Putin, has now decided that they're going to have long-range bomber fighter bombers to go all the way from the Ukraine area. By the way, which they're now admitting they've invaded the Ukraine. The Ukraine, of course, was working with the Europeans. That's one of the reasons Putin wants to bring the Ukraine back into the guise of the old Soviets and take it away from the European Union. So now Russia is going to have a long-range ship patrolling the Gulf of Mexico. Did you hear that? And not only from the Gulf of Mexico,
they're already there, Dr. Blair.
I know, but I'm saying again, now they're admitting that they're there. You see, I got a punchline. Since you threw that out, let me put the punchline on you real quickly. United States and Russia have been making love to each other every night. We are the ones that thought there was the division, like we thought there was a division in the Berlin Wall after Nazi Germany fell. We're the naive people. And this whole thing is being plotted because, as I said before, the equation never fixed till you get the least common denominator, or at least a big numerator, and that is aliens. They control Russia. They control United States. This is why this is FEMA zone that goes all the way from Nova Scotia down to the Dominican Republic. We're the ones just waking up, and since this energy is being put out, they can't play games anymore. So now they've got to protect these daggone Dracons, which we've been talking about, which are going to have to start to leave, and we have not seen hell yet. So that's what I wanted to drop on it, per se, like that. And there was also some other stuff they want to know a little bit more about the monatomic gold. I don't know where we go from that, but I can talk about that all night long. I've been with them 25 years. But those are the things that are happening on our planet that are not being purposely understood. I just gave you why I think it's happening. All these many things are happening, and if you put in that last equation, that mean denominator, it all makes sense.
And Dr. Blair, that makes it even more important that we understand our temple and the processes that must occur inside of our temple in order to build capacity to absorb these energies that you're talking about. And that's what I've been focused on for the last 2 years or so, or at least a year and a half, in terms of helping people to understand the design as well as the function of their body and how to regulate this energies, that are not only just coming from the sun. We have the explosion of supernova 1987A out in galaxy 4555 that's thrown out tremendous energy. We have the Crab Nebula. We have Eta Carina, which will affect our DNA. And I'm going to really, really talk about how the Bible is coded. I kind of alluded to it and intimated tonight in the term unleavened bread, how it has to do with the protein and enzyme. And actually, the word can actually be traced back to the Greek, the word leaven, to enzyme. from English into German, into Latin, and then into Greek. And it's right here in our Bibles. But it's hidden in code again, people. And this is why we use this Bible, because it was written in code. The people who wrote this were extremely wise. They knew and they understood that this time would come. And they left instruction for us to prepare ourselves, just as we talked about tonight, about casting the net to the right side, the arachnoid, which is actually the net, the neurological web that carries the electromagnetic signals, neurological signals to your central nervous system to help you to absorb. Now, powers that be want to affect you in many, many ways, but one of the primary ways that they want to affect you is that pineal gland. They want to make sure that it does not operate in the way that it should operate and function, because as Rene Descartes showed centuries ago, it is the soul, it is the seat of the soul, it is the point of contact between the visible and invisible world, material and anti-matter world. It is that point of our ancestors understood. And there is also in one of the temples there in Egypt showing a light beam coming down, hitting right in the middle of the forehead, which is a symbol of the pineal gland, which is what Dr. Blair is talking about, these energies, that light is energy that your pineal gland will absorb. And so you have to get it ready, get it prepared. And this is what we have, these events. Dr. Blair, who did not make our event in August, but we are preparing events to help you to understand it. And we also will give private sessions on how to help you to activate that pineal gland, which will allow you to throw that energy to the right side, activate that right brain. That right brain, the Bible says, cast the net to the right side. The thief on the right side went into paradise. Temple from the water from the temple proceeded from the right side. Christ said to the sheep, stand on my right side. The goats were on the left. The book in Revelation chapter 5 was in his right hand. The stars are in Revelation chapter 1, are in his right hand. There's just many, many, many passages that the Bible alludes to this right, but it's all a matter of understanding the code and understanding what the Bible is telling you. If you believe,
let me say this also, Brother Eel.
Let me finish this. If you believe the religious interpretation, you're going to get lost, because it does not mean what religion has taught us that it means. Go ahead, Dr. Blair.
Yeah, well, like I say, you're dealing from the biblical point of view for that. Again, one of the best things you can use is monatomic gold. That's why I've been with monatomic gold people now for 27 years, getting back from Hudson all the way through Bailey, because it is that kind of energy that will allow, that's the kind of frequency. This is why even aliens look for gold. They look for refined gold. They look for gold can hold high charges. And when you can do that, now you can access that when you come out of your body, and instead of going to sleep and then having to awake, you come out awake, because now you can get it to higher frequencies while still in the body and still using it, because now you're getting the food of the gods. That's gold. And so this is the whole point. That's what that will help you to do in a very fast way.
And also, there's another instrument that I can show you. I won't mention it over the airwaves tonight, but there's another instrument that was used by our ancestors that is a powerful instrument. I alluded to it tonight in my discussion. That also helps to increase, but it is a matter of having a master who understands these principles and techniques and tools to help you also to increase the vibrational energies inside of your temple. I will disclose that information to those who are willing and want to know, but I will not disclose it over the air tonight. But it is ancient, it is cost-efficient, cost-effective. And I tell you, if I could get one of my brothers here that I've been teaching how to use this tool on the line, he would tell you that you can actually literally feel the tingling sensations going through your body. But this is what the macabre activation is all about. I think I see him on the line. I'm going to unmute it, and I want him to just talk. You're getting ready to come in, Frank. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm getting ready to take you off mute. So if you got Bobby Rublin or somebody playing in the background, you better turn it down.
I'm
hey,
right
Frank,
here
you there?
I'm right here listening to you.
Okay.
And I know exactly what you're saying, but you don't want to mention exactly what it is, but do you want me to mention what it is?
I just want you to tell me what it does.
Well, I'll tell you what it does. It sends electric magnetic down through your body and have your body tingling. I mean, you can feel it. But I hope we, when you get a chance to really tell you exactly what it is, you will really, really enjoy what it's doing.
What about your energy
about
level?
It rises it up. I mean, it really picks it up. I mean, I've experienced it today, and it was something that I never thought I would ever experience. It's really different.
Wow. Now, you've heard it. You heard it from someone. You see, training right now. There are several of us that I'm training. In addition to the goal, now, the goal will probably enhance it. No, I'm versed in goal. Dr. Blair, Fabia, we have a gentleman here about the goal. I want to get him there. Do you know how to locate that brother? Are you there? Midwest?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you know how to locate the brother of Boston? I think his name was. If he's there, how do we get in the queue? Press star 6 or star 5?
Yes. It's star 6.
Okay, if you want to get in the queue, press star 6, and I can identify you. We had some information that came in Monday. We'd like for you to bring that to the room if you're here tonight. Anywhere, come to the queue by pressing star 6, and you can enter into the discussion. I don't know if it's star 6 or star 5.
No, it's star 6.
Oh, it's star 6. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see him. Go ahead.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, anyone that wants to come into the queue now, you're welcome to come into the queue. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left while we're on the air. Just press star 6, and you can enter the discussion in the Royal Room on tonight. Star 6. Are you waiting for us to give you some more information? DT, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm all right. Still trying to get over this cold.
Trying to get over the cold.
Yeah.
Wow. So I have not told Midwest, I have not had a cold in at least since 2000, that I can remember, since 2007. I do not catch cold.
I wish. I wish.
But you know, I've been standing in that sun morning and evenings, I don't know. I that's what I attribute it to. I'm a devout, faithful sun gazer. So, and I get in the sun and I practice some of the principles that we teach in Macabre Activation. And I have some other things that are going wrong, but I haven't had a cold since 2007. How about that?
Have you got little grandchildren running around with snotty little noses that you're having to wipe?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, let's talk after you got some of them running around and you're chasing after them to get their snotty little noses.
See, that's what got me going up there to see my daughter and the twins.
I pastored a church with lots of little kids running around, and they always love to come hug me.
We have someone in the queue. You want me to get him?
All right, 301. That may be our person. Let's bring him in.
All yeah, right. Hi, Dr. Khalif. Midwest, DT, Alfred.
Hey, my brother.
I'm doing well.
Great to hear your voice, my brother.
Yeah, just wanted to say hi. And
Alfred.
Hi, DT. Hi, Midwest.
Hello, hi. Alfred.
Hey. Dr. Khalif, about the instrument you are talking about, I guess I'll have to follow up with you. And I did tell you that I have one. I'm not going to mention the name either.
Okay, yeah, I There are reasons why I'm not mentioning it right now. But, you know, you and I have had some discussion about that over Facebook. And
yeah.
I did promise you that I will give you the principles that I've learned about this. And as you just heard, Frank, it does. And I'll, matter of fact, I will call you when we get off this line tonight. And I'll give you one principle at a time. I'll get you started tonight. Okay? But we have to be careful with this particular instrument because it is very, very powerful. Very powerful. It's so powerful that the West never wanted us to find out what it was actually for and how it was actually used. It's so powerful that there's been extensive, elaborate efforts, energies, and economics spent keeping the mysteries and the power of this particular object concealed for centuries.